This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live from Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on the air. Great to have you along today. 110 million TV homes strong on U2 America and Biz TV Network. And let's not forget, we're also on the radio. So yes, we're on television and we're also on the radio. We're called multi-format. 150 radio stations across this country. We're also on iHeartRadio, Biz Talk Radio Network, and we're also in 175 countries and all the ships at sea.
Well, you're forgetting the monster, the gorilla in the room, the interweb.
Oh, yeah, we're also online.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny because I've had a couple of people were in Hawaii last week, watched this on TV in Hawaii last week.
Yeah.
And then I also had a couple of people traveling abroad.
Yeah.
Not on Armed Forces Radio Network necessarily, but they listen to us on the iHeartRadio app.
You can do that too.
You can do that well. So you can listen to us in your car. You can listen to us on the couch. You can watch us in your hotel room.
Wow.
In Hawaii. Do you know who saw us, don't you?
Had to be the...
Your hot chick. Your good looking girl.
Oh, I love them all. Yeah. Hi. You're watching again.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. I do.
The morning newscaster that you are so in love with.
Her name?
Don't say it. Don't even say it.
She's a...
Yeah, don't do it. Great to have you along today. Hey, listen.
I don't even know how to do this.
So we were looking... Wow.
No, wait. I meant it's the heart thing. How do you do the heart thing? Ow, God. Crap.
All right. Hey, listen. A couple of things here. I was showing you the technical analysis charts of the Dow.
Yeah.
We're basically going sideways. If the Dow were a stock right now, I would tell you to hold. I wouldn't tell you to sell. I just tell you to hold. We're undervalued, but we're going sideways. We're below the 10-day moving average. We're below the 50-day moving average. This market is running on fear and greed and the concerns over recession.
And of course, the
China trade deal.
If you're screaming out to hold, till when? When do I let go?
Well, when the Dow's trading above the 10-day moving average and the 50-day moving average and the relative strength indicators looking at it's about even and it's not overbought or oversold.
Anything big coming up like the reporting numbers?
Well, Jerome Powell, the Fed chairman, is going to be in Jackson Hole on Friday. He's going to talk about potential of a rate cut. But here's the problem with the rate cut. To think that this market could be helped by a rate cut is a little dicey because the problem is central bank isn't what's holding back the global economy. The Fed funds rate right now is 2%.
It's kind of low.
Well, we have ultra low, even negative interest rates in some parts of the world. Cheap borrowing is not the problem. So remember, we just had the worst rout of the year last Wednesday. We had a sign flash, the inverted bond yield flash. And the S&P dropped 3%.
Yeah.
The Dow Jones dropped 3%. It was just one of those things. And at the end of the day, you can't depend on the Fed to keep dropping interest rates. At some point, you have to talk about things like quantitative easing, which is what Ben Bernanke did. And that's basically when you buy your own securities to create economic activity. By the way, this is what screwed up the bond market because we've got this, when you're not in a free market economy, when you're using monopoly money to buy the bonds and creating an increase in bond prices and a decrease in interest rates, you can't depend on a technical indicator anymore.
Were they doing that QE? What was it, Q2?
Quantitative easing.
But when did that hit?
Well, we never stopped it, but every country does quantitative easing. Oh, we're just the least dirty shirt in the hamper, right? I mean, that's how you have to think about it.
I heard a story that the negative interest means you pay the bank to keep your money.
But keep in mind though that when you talk about that, like what's happening in Germany, there's a negative yield savings account.
Yeah,
it means the snapshot in time today.
Okay.
It's costing you money to have money in the bank versus you're not actually writing the bank a check. Mm-hmm. Just like when you see negative earnings on a company. Apple lost money this quarter. Well, how are they still in business? Well, this is a snapshot that day. It doesn't mean money stopped coming in. Okay. You know, they're not stopping and selling everything. Hey, which is why gold is back in favor.
I'm loving the gold.
Well, gold is back in favor. Gold, of course, was trading at $1,300 an ounce just 6 weeks ago. Now it's trading at $1,500 an ounce, up $3.50 just today. Trent D'Ambrosio is the CEO of Inception Mining. I've known him for a while. He's been on the air a number of times. One of the smartest guys I know in gold. And we thought we'd ask him to come on the air just because he's got 25 years experience in this business, and I think we should spend a little bit of time dealing with the gold question, because gold was out of favor, huh, Trent? And now you guys are sort of the kind of the good looking girl in the room again, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Time to be in gold. We're happy about where it is and where it's heading, and you know, it's always fun when it's working out like this. Last time I was on with you, it was $300 or $400 an ounce lower, and we were still producing and making money, but not at the levels we are today.
Yeah. So what's interesting is what, you know, look, gold's a commodity, you know, gold, unless you're looking at an exchange traded fund, you can't really trade. You don't really want to trade gold like a stock because there isn't inflection points like that. What do you suppose, what was the tip of the spear for this year? Was it the U.S. China trade deal? Was it just the fact that the stock market's top heavy
over the
for
past
so long?
Well, I think those are both good points. And then we look at global currency devaluation over time, which is an indicator of why gold prices will increase, mm-hmm. and that's an accumulative factor. You couple that with the uncertainty in world events and then some trade issues, and it, you know, it creates a good climate for that gold commodity.
Likes.
Talk about Inception for a second, because you guys are pretty, this is a robust company. It's been around for a while. I've obviously followed it for some time. I actually at one point owned stock in this company, and I'll tell you, you've done a great job of kind of navigating through some strange waters in the gold business for a while. So talk about what you guys are doing. You guys are a producing gold mine. You're increasing production rates. You guys are actually in the business of what people think about when they think about gold companies, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. We are a producing gold mine. We have a production project in Choluteca, Honduras. That mine has been around for numerous years. It was originally mined by the Mayas, the Spanish, the indigenous people of Central America. It was taken over by the group that I purchased it from 10 or 15 years ago. We purchased that asset in 2015 and have matured it, and we're doing fairly well. We've managed to, like you said, navigate through some challenging times. We've continued to expand our production. We've recently, as of March of this year, which was a milestone for us, we went into production in an unorthodox manner. We produced prior to producing what is called an NI 43-101, which is a resource analysis and resource report that indicates what type of deposit and the amount of the deposit. We recently completed that report in March of 2019. So that was very exciting for us. That definitely legitimized the project and showed how we can produce into the future and continue to increase our production. So we're in a pretty good position today. We're very excited. And like I said, our production's continually increasing. So
his name is Trent D'Ambrosio. He is the CEO of Inception Mining. He's one of our gold experts here on the program and has been for some time. They are publicly traded on the stock symbol IMII, and you can certainly go to inceptionmining.com. Talk about this NI 43-101. That's a new one for me. I don't think we ever heard that one before.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, what does that even mean?
Is it a form or a machine?
It is National Instruments is the entity. It is a Canadian governed report that does significant analysis by a qualified person of a gold project or a gold property or mining projects, mining properties, different industries. You take significant amounts of data and compile that data to come up with indications of, here is what my resource is. There is gold here. There's this many ounces of gold in the ground. They have produced from it. We believe it to be recoverable. It gives you indications on how many hundred thousands or tens of thousands or millions of ounces of gold you have in the ground and your mine life and those critical decision-making factors when investing into a mining project. It was really based around some of the historical fraudulent reporting and promotions of mining companies we had historically. So it really brings our project to the forefront and legitimate.
Hey, Trent, very quickly, I've got 30 seconds left. Do you think gold's going to hit $2,000? Remember we had those stories 5-6 years ago, and now they're starting to creep up again. Is gold going to hit? Are we ever going to get there? Because it seems like just when we get there, something happens, the economy grows, and then suddenly it's south. What's your short answer to that one?
I don't think it would be unheard of. I think it's unlikely in the near term unless we have some more aggressive world events. 1,600, I think, is very realistic, mm-hmm. though, with the demand and the indications I'm seeing. I am getting questions a lot about, can you supply more gold? Can you produce more? So 1,600 is definitely out there. I think once we break through there, it might retrace a little bit.
Trent, thanks so much. I appreciate your help on that. Jeez. Trent D'Ambrosio, CEO, Inception Mining, stock symbol IMII. He's just a friend of the show, and we're glad to have him. Hope you get him back. InceptionMining.com. All right.
Yeah, wow.
From gold to Acapulco gold.
Nice.
That's where we're coming.
Segway.
In the next segment, we'll all drop from the world of cannabis joins us. Big Biz Show. Big Biz Show. Whoa. Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates, and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about, interviewing, or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey, Big Biz Show, BigBizShow.com. Great to have you along today. Russ and Sully, Nationwide Coast Coast. Thanks again to Trent D'Ambrosio from Inception Mining. Smart guy about the gold business. You've been noticing you've been focusing a little bit more on mining lately.
Yep.
Well, it's important because gold is coming back in favor. And we started talking to mining folks as gold getting back, but it's getting back in favor.
I was overwhelmed with the stat that two Olympic-sized swimming pools hold all the gold in the world.
That's
now.
Exactly right.
178 million.
How many swimming pools would it take to hold all the CBD oil in the world?
Well, it would take oceans, Bobby.
Here's the problem with CBD oil.
Yeah.
There is no best practices standard yet.
Yeah.
So no one knows what they're buying.
Yeah.
Until they get that in place.
Kind of like an aspirin.
Like aspirin.
I'll take aspirin.
Because you know when you're buying aspirin, you're getting X amount of grains of aspirin.
Right.
Okay. In CBD stuff.
You should.
They should have that.
Yes.
You know, and of course, you know,
very
beyond
important.
That. Because a lot of people are buying just fish oil, and then it's like with a little bit of, this, you know, stink in it or whatever. And then, oh, look at this.
No.
And the problem is that they need to have a regulatory body and testing, like our good friend Will Waldrop does. So Will Waldrop is the CEO of Evio Labs, E-V-I-O Labs. And you can go to evio.com is their website. And, of course, they're publicly traded under the stock symbol EVIO. Will, great to have you, buddy. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Good to see you guys.
You guys are kicking ass and taking names. How many labs do you guys have now altogether across the country?
Currently, we have 8 operating labs, and we have 6 that are in development at the current time.
Nice.
So 8 operating labs. And does that include, are you in the Great White North also?
We have our lab up in Edmonton, Alberta, servicing the entire Great White North.
Being built out, you mean, do they test your testing stuff?
Who tests you?
We are basically every state, or in case Canada, there is a state or government regulatory body that we're accountable to. In Canada, it's Health Canada, or Health Services Canada. In the state of California, it's the Bureau of Cannabis Control. In Oregon, they've got two regulatory bodies, ORLAP and OLCC.
Of course.
Every state has a cannabis commission. And now with hemp coming on board, we're now also accountable to the Department of Ags within each of the respective regions.
So here's my question for you, because you can't ignore cannabis as an investment sector. I mean, you've got Canopy Growth that's on the NASDAQ. You've got, big publicly traded companies that are there. I mean, it's legal in what, 28 states now, recreationally or medicinally? Mm. And it's happening. I mean, in Canada, it's federally legal. I mean, we've got a problem here in the states where it's not federally legal for these companies because... as you probably know better than anyone from some of your customers, these guys can't bank at the Bank of America or Wells Fargo or something because those are FDIC-insured banks, and the Federal Depository Insurance Corporation cannot insure your money if you're conducting business in a federally illegal space. So as long as marijuana, CBD, hemp, is federally illegal, it causes a banking problem. Is that the biggest deterrent right now? If that gets solved, are we a pot-free country just like Canada is at that point?
Well, banking is a good component of it, a very concerning component of it. Actually, I had one of my officers today get shut down by his bank and his son's personal savings account just because he had a cannabis testing account there. It's insane what we're having to work with right now. It will definitely help move the ball forward. It'll definitely help provide greater security for those states that are operating today in a cash basis. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't want to be a dispensary owner today worrying about moving cash back and forth because it's very concerning. Evio Labs is fortunate to have bank accounts today because we're more of that consumer safety component of it, as well as a good portion of our business now is coming from hemp, which is, with the Farm Bill, a federally legal program to support.
You know, it reminds me of Charlie Brown and Lucy, where the government's like...
Keep throwing moving the football.
We meant 10%.
Well, the interesting part of it is that it sort of is creating, and I've said this before, a legal money laundering system. Mm-hmm. I mean, where you've got these businesses that are operating under state guidelines, but they can't bank anywhere. And I know there's, California talks about putting a bank together that's criteria specific to that industry. Talk about you guys, because we've had you on a number of times, and we followed you as a company, and I know we've got a lot more affiliates and more stations. Talk about what Evio Labs does, because it's really interesting, because you're part of the infrastructure of that whole business there.
Absolutely. Evio Labs, we are the compliance component of the industry. So we don't grow, we don't manufacture, we don't sell. We are there to protect the consumers. As mentioned earlier, we're regulated by the state and federal bodies, or in Canada at a federal body level, in which we provide necessary testing. So when you see something on a label that talks about how much THC or how much CBD, it's been tested by a ISO-accredited cannabis lab as Evio Labs. And that's a critical path to how we have to move this industry forward.
And then it's up to the individual to decide, can I eat two of these?
That's the point we were talking about before, Will, is the problem is that when you buy a bottle of aspirin, whether it's Bayer Aspirin, who's a sponsor, Bayer Advance, better
right.
science,
better
results,
believe it.
Or if it's just CVS Aspirin, or if it's, Costco Aspirin, we know there's a certain amount of aspirin in each aspirin tablet because the FDA has said for you to call it aspirin, it's got to have this. CBD tinctures are not all the same. When is that sort of best practices going to come out? Because until then, it's not just a matter of health risks. It's a matter of buyer beware. You might be buying a bottle of freaking Wesson oil thinking that it's CBD oil, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and the first thing to think about is you want to ensure the product you're buying is tested. Yep. So whether it's a 10 milligram tincture or a 20 milligram tincture, you want to confirm with the manufacturer or the seller, and then the manufacturer, they have the certificate of testing authorization showing that it's been tested. Yep. And then it's really unfortunate at this point, we're still in the infancy of this industry where, it's not, FDA regulated yet, where they're saying, take this much amount to treat these conditions. You know, there's a lot of qualitative data out there. You can go out to even well-known sites like Leafly that has a lot of consumer information to learn about what type of dosing would be good for you to start with.
Yeah.
But it's, like you said, buyer beware. You got to start slow and start to build up to understand how that impacts you and your tolerance levels.
Hey, the results won't kill you. If you don't eat enough, you're not going to feel it. If you eat too much, you'll feel it, but it won't kill you, is what I'm saying.
How do you know?
Because I've done it.
Thanks.
Well, I'm still here.
Will Waldrop, CEO of Evio Labs. You'll see him back. Evio Labs. Hey, our good friend Bob Babbitt from Challenge Athletes Foundation is here in studio. We're going to talk to him in a very, very impressive dude he brought with him. Big
The human body is capable of so much more than we believe it is. It can swim faster, pedal further, and run more miles than we can ever imagine. Bottom line, we as human beings are designed to move. And this is something we are failing to teach our kids. Youth activity is at an all-time low. Kids are spending 7, 8, 9 hours a day on screens. It's embarrassing. At the same time, schools across the country are cutting back on physical education. How does this make any sense? And it's not just affecting their bodies. Even more importantly, it's affecting their minds. So instead of telling kids to get outside and play, I figure I would show them how to do it. This is happening. I plan on swimming 7 miles from AT&T Park in San Francisco to Oakland. Hop on a bike and ride over 2,400 miles to Chicago. Then put on my sneakers and run 900 yards to New York City. This isn't going to be easy, but is life supposed to be easy? It's only during the deepest, darkest, and most painful times when we are able to find out exactly who we are.
They wanted to win a medal in curling until they found out it had nothing to do with lifting beers. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
There you go. Live from the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on the air. 110 million broadcast television, home strong. 150 radio stations in 175 countries and all the ships. See, Russ, when's the last time you went out there and got out there?
Never got out there. I went out there and I didn't like it out there and I went back in here. I did body surfing the other day. Does that count? I don't like jogging.
My best story about Rusty.
I don't like running.
My best story about Rusty Nails working out is about 4 years ago. 4 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, you decided to take up yoga.
It's hot been yoga. 7 years.
Yeah. And that's when he went out and bought yoga shoes.
I didn't know.
I go, what are those white New Balance shoes from Costco?
Yeah.
Goes, well, I'm going to yoga today.
Yeah.
Start my new yoga program. So I got me some yoga shoes.
No idea.
What happened when you showed up with those shoes?
Well, a good-looking girl asked me to go. So yeah, I love yoga. I don't know what yoga is. I go.
Says for your old, go away.
I went in. I threw up the first 20 minutes in. I started throwing up. Now, I'm going to try it again. Yeah. Got to hydrate a lot.
After all of these years of having Bob Babbitt from the competitor group and founder of Challenge Athletes Foundation, a friend of the show, founder of Clydesdale's.
How big are
you? You'd think that he would have, taken the hint at this point.
Exactly.
He's got arteries of stone.
Yeah.
And
jogging is called jogging because I feel like something's jogging, so I don't like that. And you have to pay attention. I like yoga because some good-looking girls usually tell me, okay, now go down like this. I'm like, okay, I can do that. Just shut up.
Now, do you feel better now that you do that stuff?
Yes, I love
yoga. Well, because that is the story that Eric Burns is trying to tell. He's a baseball analyst. He's a former Major League Baseball player. He's a friend of Bob. Bob, first of all, welcome to the program.
Well,
great to have you along.
Thanks for appreciating it. Always fun to be here. with the A-team.
Well, and the best part is you always bring cool people in with you. So,
Eric,
too bad you got a fatty coolest. With you because, you know, it's clearly Eric could use a salad.
Look at
I mean, I don't think, you know, we normally don't have, like, we don't let people on that make us look worse than we are. Eric, welcome to the program. Can you, Bob, tell the story a little bit because I think this is interesting because you have a passion for bringing guys who also bring passion to the world.
Well, what's great about Eric obviously played Major League Baseball for years, 11 years. In 2007, I think it was, the guy hit 21 homers, stole 50 bases, hit 280, and we're talking the real deal. And when he retired from baseball, somebody, I think, challenged him, said, hey, we're doing this triathlon. And he thought, oh, no big deal. I'll use this cruiser bike, and I'll put my board shorts on. And it kicked his butt. And he transitioned into becoming an endurance. Yeah, he's done 11 Ironmans. He's gone 10-01.
He's done 11 Ironmans?
10-01.
Oh,
and then he ran Western
States. I've watched 11 Ironmans.
Done Western
States. And I've cried at every one of them. Usually at one of those stories where Ricky Hoyt's getting pulled by the thing.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Talk about this film, because I know, first of all, at the Challenge Athletes Foundation building, and you know, on this program, thanks to you, we have raised upwards of $170,000 in the last 10 years because of our viewers and our listeners. And we spent a fair amount of time showing, you know, this building that we're talking about. But the CF building, I believe tonight. If I'm
yes, it is
you
tonight.
You guys are premiering this?
We're with the Tri-Club of San Diego. It's called Let Them Play. Uh-huh. And it's really Eric's journey where he decided, oh, I don't know, I think we need to bring attention to the fact that PE keeps getting cut in schools. Yeah. And I'm going to jump into McCovey Cove behind AT&T Park and swim 7 miles to Oakland.
First of all, that was like what, 32 degree water, 33? You were ducking ice caps at that point?
You know what? Funny thing was, it wasn't that bad. It was actually.
Not that bad.
No, because in the summer, it gets to like mid 50s.
Mid 50s.
And then
San Diego doesn't get to the mid 50s in the winter.
That's my dating limit.
Mid 50s.
You know what it was? Because I put the wussy hood on.
I saw that.
And so once the wussy hood's on, like it keeps it obviously really warm. Now, it was a constant, like, what do they call it? The ice cream headache. It was like
brain freeze the whole time.
An ice cream face ache the whole time because my face just went numb in the early going.
Yeah. Well, and if our radio audience can't see this, but we'll put this up on the website. You can certainly see it at challengeathletes.com. But the video we just saw was you literally on that swim, and you were basically. You just got in the water and swam. What is it? How many miles?
Seven miles
to Oakland.
You start warming up about what?
7 miles.
Is first 20 yards or two miles or when you start going, this ain't bad.
The biggest thing was, though, is trying to time the currents. Because the San Francisco Bay, and the reason why I don't think there's a lot of people that have ever swam from San Francisco to Oakland is because you're dealing with a max flood tide, right? And then you have that tide coming back.
Sure.
And so you have to time it right. Yeah. And if we wanted to try to get in at max flood, just after max flood, because if you hit the flood too much, I would have ended up at San Francisco Airport.
Oh, that's not bad.
Good. And then because you have to make it across.
Yeah.
So if the flood's coming at 4 knots and you're swimming at 2 knots, this isn't happening.
Where do you find that out? Who do you call?
A lot of research.
So we're not doing it today.
I got a
kayak. Okay, here's my question. So you go from being a rock star baseball player.
Yeah.
We've interviewed enough professional athletes to know you guys are normal guys, but at the end of the day, you live an extraordinary life. I mean, you get to play in the show. There's people clapping just the second you walk out. I mean, it's sort of an unrealistic sort of life. How do you go from that to being so real and seeing, you know, kids, let's face it, that are sedentary, looking at screen time and have a passion for that? Because you didn't have to.
First of all, I think baseball players, more than anybody, we get humbled. It's a sport that's predicated on failure. And so, like, at no point did I ever look at myself as anyone.
You never thought you made it, huh?
Even when you're in the grind of playing in the big leagues and doing your thing, the pressure is real, and having to perform that next night is real, and it doesn't matter what you do.
So you're really only as good as your last box score, I suppose.
Your next box score.
No kidding.
It's tough because what happens is you kind of put a lot of your self-worth into the game.
And then you get into a slump and you start thinking, is it me or is this the end?
And so when you go home at night, you're like, man.
So you guys aren't taking that stuff seriously then? I mean, half the time you're going, I can't believe I'm here. Is that sort of the feeling you guys have?
I think one of the things that I tried to do, because I was never this huge prospect coming up.
Mm-hmm. 21 home runs sucks,
I kind of played my way. into an 11 season career where it was like I didn't have these big expectations when I first got there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it went on, and then eventually, you know, I had a few really good seasons.
Yeah.
And and then when I was done, though, I made this transition to doing triathlon and got my ass kicked, just like Bob talked about.
Right.
Where,
like, because you're in good shape.
Were you surprised? Because, you know, when you're a lifelong athlete, you sort of think like, yeah, I could do this, right? Were you surprised how difficult
it
was?
No, I knew. I had no clue what I was getting into. Think about this. It's totally like anaerobic sport.
Oh, I know. I've been there.
And then you back that up with going to a completely aerobic sport.
Yeah.
So fast twitch, run 90 feet as hard as you can. A long run was going first to third. Like, you know, that's the type of thing. So when I made the transition, I think part of me, I think I was searching for that, and I didn't know what I was searching for when I got done playing.
Right.
I got in the TV thing. I love that. But, like, as far as, like, physically, what was I going to do
to keep
me stimulated that way? So when I first got done, it was a lot of softball. It was a lot of golf.
Sure.
And then eventually it led to the triathlon. And, you know, you have to completely kind of be okay with –
Well, it's about pain. It's about pain management. Also, last summer to bring attention to the lack of PE in schools, he decided to do a triathlon across the U.S. Not across San Diego, not across the city of San Francisco.
I couldn't even make it home.
Across the U.S. And he gave out grants along the way. And of course, what came of that was a movie called Let Them Play. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Bob Babbitt from Challenge Athletes Foundation, and of course the I still say competitive group because it's still impressive.
It's my tattoo, baby.
Eric Burns, rock star, before picture.
Yeah.
Actually, this is the before picture. This is the after picture.
I didn't realize you're playing DJ back here, Sully.
Sully does it all, man.
Stand by. We're back in a second.
Wait a second, man. What do you think the teacher's going to look like this year?
Hall of Fame race. Out of left field, fans. Here comes Eric Burns. Can he get there before the finish line, down the right field line? He's preparing for a triathlon and he's going to begin across the country on Sunday. He's catching up. Cheer him on. And he did it. Eric Burns, former A's major leaguer.
When I think of Eric, one of the first things that comes to my mind is his intensity. In life, athletics, in just about everything he does.
Burns' throw to the plate is in time!
Let Them Play Foundation is a new project that Eric and I have taken under. Our kickoff event is a triathlon across America. It's an opportunity for us to distribute grants and bring awareness to the lack of physical activity that our kids are going through.
What's tough is with this current pushing you sound.
My goal with this triathlon is to give kids an opportunity to get outside and play.
When you think about the enormity of what Eric's trying to do, a lot of us have run 20 miles, a lot of us have ridden 100 miles, but for somebody to string together a 7-mile swim, a month of riding 100 plus miles a day, and then basically another couple weeks of running over 30 miles a day, it's ridiculous.
I'm doing this to do everything in my power to try to make a difference. That's it.
Come on!
I believe I'm physically capable of doing it. And if there's one kid out there who is able to gain motivation from that, it's a win.
This one was a vision quest. This was something that was bigger than me, bigger than the ex-big leaguer.
I am not convinced that I'm going to be able to change the world by doing a triathlon across the country, but I promise you along the way, we're going to motivate some kids.
Born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
How do you feel about yourself now, Russ?
Worse every minute.
Every time.
Please continue.
Every time Babbitt comes in and brings either an athlete or a motivational person, Russ sinks a little further down.
Yeah.
He feels about himself. Now, all you need to do is get your ass on a bike and go down may I take this moment to talk about the Challenge Athletes Foundation. $1 million challenge. This will be my ninth
Oh, yeah. That's incredible.
Thank you.
I'd like to join this year.
And I'm a ride leader this year for a bunch of foofy dignitaries and anybody else that'll join us. You know, the best part about my group is we stop along the way and take pictures, and there's usually a Bloody Mary or two involved. I shouldn't tell you this as you're one of the founders.
Because we're
flying the CAF flag. But, like, when there's, like, 3 miles to go, we may or may not stop into a bar before we head back to the hotel.
Sure. Parking's easy for a couple bikes.
I got a
bikes.
Great group. Plus, Chris Janikas, Jared Coleman, Curtis Matovich are going to join us again this year.
And they're going to film, right?
The whole time, and we're creating. I don't know if they told
doing
you
a
this.
Doc on this?
We're doing a documentary about you.
As well,
it's about you specifically.
Exactly.
I'm
ready.
There'll be a drone following you for 3 days right over your head.
Hey, Bob, since you are the consummate narrator, talk to us about the film itself and let them play with Eric and CF athlete Breezy. Is it Bochenek? Am I saying that?
Bohenek. Yeah. Obviously, Eric has, as a kid, Eric was one of those guys like me who couldn't sit still. And without sport, without PE, man, I never would have got through school. And Eric realized that, too, that, you know, when they first tested him without getting any workout in beforehand, they were like, we should put you in a special school. Mm-hmm. And then
so put him on a treadmill, put him on a hamster wheel.
Yeah, and then
that's what happened. And he was a genius.
Exactly. Yeah. So as Eric did more and more research on this, they realized that the kids are spending so much time on screens and PE is getting cut in schools. It's a bad – we have a bad look in this country where our kids are obese. And
hence the movie
out.
Let Them Play.
Let Them Play. And the film Let Them Play chronicles Eric's decision to basically prove that fitness really matters. And he jumped into San Francisco Bay, swam 7 miles to Oakland, rode to Chicago, 2,400 miles, and then ran 905 miles to New York City.
Not encouraging children to leave the house and start swimming around for 7 hours. No, they're just saying,
it's about burning energy, isn't it? Is that what it's about?
Yeah. It's just about moving. That's the thing. It's like, whether we're talking about kids, we're talking about adults, the whole point is that just do something.
Do you sleep better after a huge race?
You do everything better.
I mean, physically and mentally.
Physically and mentally. I like, for example, like this morning, like the first thing I would normally do is get up, I have my coffee, I have my butter, and I just go run.
Uh-huh.
This morning, we were on a...
Oh, did the tour,
on a media jump.
PR tour.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but the first thing I did, went out, put my feet in the grass, ran like 5 little laps around the thing.
So you can move.
To stimulate the mind, because I knew I was going to be doing interviews all day. So to be able to, as a matter of fact, we document this very well in the movie.
Yeah.
Every 17 minutes, our brains go to sleep. So you have to move every 17 minutes to stimulate it. And we're putting kids in classrooms for hours at a time, cutting recess time, we're cutting PE, and we're expecting them to go out and optimally perform. This isn't about fat shaming. This isn't about their bodies. This is about what physical activity does for their mind.
Yeah.
Because mental illness right now is at an all-time high.
Let me ask you something, because I tell you, there's people listening to us on the radio, and there's people watching on TV, and their parents, and they're saying, I guarantee you, the number one email I'm going to get from this is, how did you get the kids to get their face out of the screen? Because that had to have been a piece of what you were talking about, because you had to have kids. Look at... You know, we own a couple of millennials. I remember when they were teenagers. The toughest thing to do is get a teenager to do anything. Mm-hmm. And you know you have unmotivated teenagers that have either been bullied or picked on, and their best thing is just to do this, right?
Yeah.
How did you tackle that? That was a big one.
It's still a big one. So basically, what you have to think about it, we have to give them an alternative.
Right.
And so when we don't give them an alternative, what do you think they're going to do? It's like any drug addict, man. It's like the only way you're going to ever get off is I used to chew Copenhagen, right? The only way I would ever get off chewing Copenhagen was by finding something else to go to. It eventually was Nicorette gum. Then they gave me
bubble gum or whatever.
So you give them an alternative.
You give them an alternative. Yeah. So the whole point is with all of this is that we have to... First of all, 60% of kids do zero after-school youth activity, right?
Yeah, right.
It's terrible as you get into these impoverished neighborhoods. So the whole journey across the country, what we did is we were going into these ballparks, and we were aligning with teams, and we were finding out local youth activity organizations in the area, and we were handing out grants. Yeah. And so we're handing out grants in Sacramento, a $1,000 check to a youth activity, a youth Latino soccer team.
Yeah.
They thought it was everything. Because you know how much travel ball is now and how much that costs. That was for new uniforms. And they thought it was the greatest thing ever. It's just you have to give these kids the resources to play.
Eric Burns is his name. Fantastic stuff.
Wow.
Bob Babbitt, Challenge Athletes Foundation.
Thank you, Sully.
And, of course, Let Them Play Foundation. is the name of the foundation. We'll put that link on our website, bigbizshow.com. Also go to challengedathletes.com as well. And tonight, August 20th, go check out the movie at the CAF building. If you want more information, just email us here at the program. Guys, thanks so much for swinging by.
Thank you, Sully. Appreciate the help.
Chris Janikas, our director. Jared Coleman, our assistant director. Curtis Manovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our keeper of keys, our composer, and from whom all blessings flow, RussIsFunny.com, because
RussIsFatAndBald.com was taken.
Oh, that's going to leave a mark.